for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Saturday evening, April 6, 1985. Passover weekend teaching and deliverance seminar being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Glenn and Irma Miller are the speakers of the evening. Should this tape for any reason be defective, please explain and return for replacement.
Well, praise the Lord. I thank the Lord for His blessings and His presence amongst us, and I will praise the Lord. Amen. You know, it's not I want to, I might, it's I will. Amen. And I so appreciate all the teaching and ministry that we've had these last few days. The teachings of the Moody's have been very, very rich. And if you will take those tapes and listen to them at home, you'll find yourself blessed over and over again and have an understanding that you didn't get the first time around. You have to go a couple of times around, and then you begin to get all that God has in it for you. This evening, for a little while before Irma comes back, I'm going to talk to you about some things that are an abomination to God. Now, there's lots of things that are abomination to the Lord, but I'm only going to touch on a few of them on a certain area. There are many areas that apply to things that are abomination to God. But I'm going to touch on some of them that our lives are touched with, and that it's very hard for us to separate ourselves from some of these things because of tradition and family ties. And of course, the easiest one to see and the easiest one to separate ourselves from is Halloween. Halloween is an abomination to God. And that one is fairly easy for us to understand and to separate ourselves out from as we look at it and see that it is unto Satan. It's worship unto Satan and to his demons. And we need to separate our families and ourselves from that and not participate in it. And that's hard to do when at school, when they have the school programs and all, but you need to just simply send a letter to the principal and say that we do not participate in that, and that's it, period. Now, years past, I was one of the biggest offenders, and God forgive me, of Halloween that I suppose there is. Like they have one of the churches has a Halloween ghost house here, and some big church in Florida has one where they come from all over the United States to visit at Halloween time in Florida. But I used to do that in Van Nuys, California, when I was Sunday school superintendent of a large church there in the valley. And we used to build the biggest witch's tunnel and have the biggest Halloween party in the valley. And that was an abomination to God. But I was ignorant. But that didn't change God's laws any, because I was ignorant. Lord, forgive me, and I've asked him too many times over. Another thing that's an abomination to God, which some of you have never thought of, and that's Valentine's Day. That's an abomination to God. Why? Because it represents male and female sex relations. That's what the arrow and the heart stand for. That's the meaning of them. And it represents illicit sex or sex, and it's an abomination to God. You say, well, we have a Valentine's party and for our married couples at church, and we used to do the same thing. Sorry. But still, that doesn't change the fact that it's an abomination to God. So we need to look at these things and then try, with the help of the Lord, to separate ourselves from them so that we do not carry on the traditions that we have inherited from our ancestors, carrying on these things that are abominable unto God. Now, we'll get a little closer to home. Christmas. Christmas is really an abomination to God. It's worse than Halloween and Valentine's Day put together. Christmas is. And the very word Christmas The very word is an abomination to God, let alone what it stands for. The word Christmas is a mass to Christ. That's what it's a Catholic word meaning a mass to Christ. And what does the mass mean? Mass means prayers for the dead, and the doctrine of transubstantiation, and prayers to dead saints, and prayers to the Mother Mary, which is an abomination to God. And then we go back and we've got Santa Claus. And we teach our children Santa Claus is going to come and bring you this and that. And what is that? That Santa Claus is an absolute abomination to God, because what is Santa Claus? Santa Claus is a mockery of God. God is omnipotent, all-powerful, everywhere, knows everything. And we say Santa Claus is taking God's place. He's everywhere all the time, and the omnipotent knows everything. We tell our kids Santa Claus knows when you're bad and when you're good. You're teaching them a lie and an abomination and telling them that Santa Claus is taking the place of God. That's where you put another God up before God when you do that. But where did Christmas come from? What is the background of Christmas? The background of Christmas is it originated as a celebration to Tammuz. Well, who is Tammuz? He was the son of Nimrod and Samarinus. Only by really wasn't Nimrod's son. He was really Samarinus's son by whoredom. That's what he was. But Christmas actually started as a celebration to his birthday, not to Jesus at all. Turn with me to Jeremiah 10, and we'll look at something here that God says which relates to Christmas, and we'll see what God says about it here in Jeremiah 10. Verse 1 says, "Hear ye the word of the Lord, which the Lord speaketh unto you, O house of Israel." And we are the house of Israel. "Thus saith the Lord, learn not the way of the heathen, and be not dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the heathen are dismayed at them. For the customs of the people are vain." Customs. What customs? "For one cutteth a tree out of the forest, the work of the hands of the workman with the axe, and they deck it with silver and with gold, and they fasten it with nails and hammers, that it move not." Christmas tree. That's just exactly what it is. That's what he's talking about here, what we now call a Christmas tree. That's what Jeremiah's talking about over here. Abomination to God. Then the other thing. Jesus was not born in December. That's a historical fact. Because if you figure out when the sheep are still on the hillsides grazing and the time it is, and when you apply it to the times of that relate to Jesus' birth, he had to be born in either the end of September or the 1st of October sometime. It depends on when the new moon comes in that area, in there. That will give you an approximation of when Jesus was born. At the time there of the Feast of Tabernacles and this, he was born in that area of time. And not at Christmas time at all. And the other thing is, we can't celebrate Jesus' birthday because technically it doesn't exist. Or actuality, it doesn't exist. Well, the Bible tells us in many places, especially back in the book of Revelation, that he's Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. So if that be so, you can't celebrate a birthday for him. So it's an abomination to God when you participate in it. And we need to change our ways and cut ourselves off from these things as best we can. Now, it's hard to do. It's hard to explain to some of your families and all this. So you just do it as the Lord leads you to the best of your ability and ask the Lord to help you. Now, there's another celebration that's an abomination to God. It's taking place right now, this weekend. Easter. The very word Easter is abomination to God. That word, just the word is an abomination. Easter. This book here, Mystery Babylon, will help all of you if you don't understand what I'm talking about. It'll trace history for you in all these areas and many more. Many more, this little book. Every preacher should, every pastor and every Sunday school teacher should have this book. And everybody else should have it besides. But anyway, Easter. I'm going to read a couple of verses out of here. It says, Easter. It is well known that Easter is not a Christian expression, nor is it in its original meaning. The word comes from the name of a pagan goddess, the goddess of the rising light of day and spring. Easter is but a more modern form of Astar. Now, where did Astar come from? From, according to ancient myth, the goddess Astar, which we now call Easter, was hatched from an egg, and this egg has now become the symbol of the goddess of Easter. So we worship the goddess Astar, Easter, when we have an Easter egg hunt. You are actually worshiping and paying homage to the goddess of Astar when you have an Easter egg hunt. And the bunny rabbit that is also to the goddess of fertility. And it's abomination to God. Abomination to God. The very word Easter. Now, the word Easter appears in Acts chapter 12. And it is a mistranslation, and you should mark it out of your Bible.
Let's see,
Acts 12 and verse 4 says, and when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quarters of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. That word is Passover. It is not Easter. In your Bible, you should remark your Bible, and you should write in there Passover and not Easter. This is the time of Passover and not the time of Easter that we are celebrating now. We are celebrating the time of the Passover and not the time of Easter. And there's another thing. Good Friday. Good Friday, they have Good Friday and a hot cross bun. Well, you can find, turn on to Jeremiah 44, verse 18 and 19, I believe it is. And here we're back to verse 18 of chapter 44. But since we left off to burn incense to the Queen of Heaven, now the Queen of Heaven, according to the Catholic Church, is Mary. But Mary's not born yet for several hundred years back here. That's funny, isn't it? How'd the Queen of Heaven get back over here when Mary's not even born yet? And when we burned incense to the Queen of Heaven and poured out drink offerings unto her, did we not make her cakes to worship her and pour out drink offerings unto her without our men? The women did this. And this is where hot cross buns comes from, right here. From this, it's a tradition that's come clear down from Jeremiah, hot cross buns. They made cakes, hot cross buns, to the Queen of Heaven back here in the book of Jeremiah. Now, there's another thing about the Passover. That is the death and resurrection of Jesus. When does the Bible tell us that Jesus died? It says that he died and was buried at sunset. They buried him by time of the setting of the sun. The setting of the sun in those days was the end of the day and the beginning of the day. The day ended when the sun went down, and the new day began at dark. Not at midnight as we have, or not at sunrise. The day ended at sunset, and the day began at sunset. And Jesus died and was buried in the afternoon, was buried by sunset. And he was 3 days and three nights in the grave. So if you calculate and figure it out, and even if you go back in ancient times, you'll find that the day he was crucified on was a day of a high holiday. There were a double high holiday at this time of the year. And this was a high holiday before, the day before, the Passover at the time. But anyway, so on Wednesday night at sunset, he was buried. Wednesday night. Thursday night at sunset is 1 day. Friday night at sunset is 2 days. Saturday night at sunset is 3 days. Jesus rose at sunset of Saturday evening, or the Sabbath day, at the beginning of the day, or at sunset. It says, you say, well, what about the scripture where the women came early in the morning? That's right. But they waited till the Sabbath day was over, which was and they came at the rising of the sun early in the morning. But Jesus wasn't there. He had been gone since sunset the night before. He was not there all that night. And they came and found the angel of the Lord there with him, sitting there at the tomb. And they came, but Jesus was already gone. So he was, just as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale, so was Jesus. So you got to do some calculation, and you can't take it from Friday afternoon, Friday night, and make it Sunday morning, and make it come out 3 days and three nights. It don't work. It don't work. So anyway, some of the things, these are just some of the things that's an abomination to God that we participate in because of tradition, and we don't even know that we've done it. I didn't know it. I wasn't aware of some of these things until 4 or 5 years ago on some of them, actually, as the Lord. There's another thing that's a tradition, and it's an abomination to God, and you will find that a lot of places where this exists, they have sexual problems in the church with the piano player and the organist and the secretary and the music director and even the pastor. And that's a steeple on a church. A steeple on a church is an abomination to God. Do you know what a steeple on a church represents? I'll just tell you plain and straight. A male sex organ. That's what it stands for. That is exactly, go get your encyclopedias, go look it up, check it out. You'll find out that's exactly, it's an oblect. And that's what an oblect is. That's what it originated from. That's what it meant in the original, in the beginning. And they worshipped it under the trees and on the high places. The heathen worshipped them, and then the children of Israel took up the worship of it, and that's what it stands for. Then there's the other. What's the other name for the Doc? Can you tell me? Yes, the Asherah. That's a female sex organ, and they worship these in the high places, and then it got transferred over, became a steeple, and we put it on a church and think that it represents God. All it does is bring in lust and sex into a congregation of a church, and they wonder why they have all the problems in the church. They have the symbol on top of the church and ask all the demons to come running in. Hey, come over here. Look, they've got our symbol up here. There you are. Okay? Another abomination to God. And I'm not going into it or anything, but that's the eating of blood and fat. God says, you shall not do it forever. It's an abomination unto me. Okay? Now we'll take up the subject that I'm going to talk about, and then I'll turn to Irma. Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 23, abominations to God. And the Christian family is full of it. What is that? Incest. It should not be, but it's so. Deuteronomy 23, verse 2. A bastard shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord, even to his tenth generation shall he not enter into the congregation of the Lord. An Amorite or a Moabite, and that's what they are the sons of Lot by his daughter's incest, shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord, even to their tenth generation, 400 years, shall they not enter into the congregation of the Lord, or forever. Scientist tells us that it takes 400 years, 10 generations, for the bloodline to be cleansed of incest. Take that long for it to work itself out, and that's why God says that it shall be for 10 generations. Turn with me to Leviticus chapter 18, and we'll look at some of these things for a few minutes here. Leviticus 18, verse 4. You shall do my judgments and keep mine ordinances to walk therein. I am the Lord your God. You shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, which if a man do, he shall live in them. I am the Lord. Now, what are some of these things that relate to family life? Let's look at them. None of you shall approach to any that is near of kin to him to uncover their nakedness. That is to have sexual relations, is what that means when it says that. Why? Because God said so. He says, I am the Lord. He doesn't give you any question. He just says, that's so. The nakedness of thy father or the nakedness of thy mother, thou shalt not uncover. She is thy mother, thou shalt not uncover her nakedness. The nakedness of thy father's wife, that would be your mother-in-law or your stepmother, wife, thou shalt not uncover. It is thy father's nakedness. the nakedness of thy sister, the daughter of thy father or daughter of thy mother, either half-sister or full-sister, whether she be born at home or born abroad, even their nakedness thou shalt not uncover. The nakedness of thy son's daughter or thy daughter's daughter, even their nakedness thou shalt not uncover, for theirs is thine own nakedness. The nakedness of thy father's wife's daughter, begotten of thy father, she is thy sister. Thou shalt not uncover her nakedness. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy father's sister. She is thy father's near kinswoman. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy mother's sister, for she is thy mother's near kinswoman. The Lord's covering them all. He's not leaving out anything here. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy father's brother. Thou shalt not approach to his wife. She is thine aunt. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy daughter-in-law. She is thy son's wife. Thou shalt not uncover her nakedness. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy brother's wife. It is thy brother's nakedness. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of a woman and her daughter. Neither shalt thou take her son's daughter or her daughter's daughter to uncover her nakedness, for they are her near kinswoman. It is wickedness. Neither shalt thou take a wife to her sister to vex her. In other words, you shan't have a wife and her sister as your wife, or have relations with her, with your wife's sister, to vex her, to uncover her nakedness beside the other in her lifetime. While either one is living, the other is separated. Also, thou shalt not approach unto one to uncover her nakedness, as long as she is put apart for her uncleanness. Now, this is something that most of you I never understood. In fact, I've read this a lot of times in years past, and I never even saw it at all. I read it and I just read it. But here, this verse says that you shall not have sexual relations with your wife during her period time. Thou shalt not approach unto a woman to uncover her nakedness, as long as she is put apart for uncleanness, her period. Moreover, thou shalt not lie carnally with thy neighbor's wife, or to defile thyself with her. Thou shalt not let any of thy seed pass through the fire to Moloch, neither shalt thou profane the name of the Lord. I am the Lord. Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. Homosexuality is an abomination, or lebanism. Neither shalt thou lie with any beast to defile thyself, bestiality therewith. Neither shall any woman stand before a beast to lie down therewith. It is confusion. Now, this is picked up again in the 20th chapter of Leviticus. And the Lord goes through the whole thing again in the 20th chapter of Leviticus. Only over here, it says that everybody shall be put to death or cut off in this 20th chapter. That there shall be cut off or put to death. And in the 18th verse, we pick up again sexual relations during the time of the ministerial period. It says here again. And I believe, in praying with people, and since we've come into the understanding of this, I believe that a female trouble and prostate trouble, a lot of it, can be traced to husbands and wives having relations during the time of the ministerial period. Now, God's got a reason for it. If he didn't have a reason for it, he wouldn't have put it in here. But there's a reason for it, and it doesn't matter whether we understand it or like it or not. God says, and his word says, so we're supposed to do. That's it, period. And if you want to argue with God, you're just in trouble. That's all. God doesn't give any room to argue with him. He says that's it, and that's it. And whether we like it or not, we're supposed to make ourselves like it and then live accordingly. Now, you notice here there are some other things that go on in this chapter here. It says that if a man shall lie with his uncle's wife, that they'll die childless. And it says if a man shall take his brother's wife, they also shall be childless. So there's some other complications that go on here when we disobey the things of that relate to family sexual relations. Now, this is picked up again in the 27th chapter of Deuteronomy. Three times this is all repeated here in the scriptures in relation to incest amongst and in the family. And incest is a very serious problem today in the house of the Lord. We have many, many calls and requests and prayer here for problems of incest in family lives. I'm not going to any details or talk about it in that, but we have prayed for many, many people that have been involved in incest today. Not last year or my grandfather, but present truth today. And I wonder how many of us know 400 generations, 400 years, 10 generations back, how many of us can tell if some of your family wasn't involved in incest and you bearing a curse has come down to you over the years, or maybe two or three times in that period of time, and the curse has doubled up on us. And we're bearing the curse of incest, and we wonder why we're bothered with certain feelings or lustful thoughts or attitudes concerning brothers and sisters or situations when we shouldn't be bothered with it. The problem basically is because we are bearing the curse of our ancestors, which has a right to us for that many generations until it runs out, and it's maybe multiplied two or three times. So therefore, we need to be set free from our own sins as well as the sins of our ancestors. And thank the Lord, there's a way to be set free. For the Bible tells us that we now live under grace, and not under, we're not stoned anymore, but we've come into the age of grace. So under grace, we can come and be set free from our sins through the blood of Jesus. And then also the curse of our ancestors we can be set free from, because Jesus became a curse so that we don't have to bear the curse, and so that the curse can be broken off of us, so we can apply Galatians 3:13 to our lives and be set free from the curse of our ancestors who have been involved in these things that has visited down upon us, and we're bearing that sin and these problems in our lives that we don't know where they come from or how to control, but it's there because of demonic activity that has a right to your life and mine because of these sins that our forefathers have committed as well as ourselves, and we're bearing the curse of it, and we don't understand it. But the Lord is giving a revelation to us and a knowledge where we can understand these things, and we can take authority over and break the powers of those and cancel those sins and come out from under them, because that we have authority to break the powers of these curses in the name of the Lord Jesus, in that name that's above every name, that name to which every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that He's Lord. He says that in my name you can take authority and dominion over the powers of Satan and over these things and set the captives free. And that's what we have been doing here this week. The Moody's have been so faithful in teaching us, and Jack Harris and the others are teaching us. We're learning to set the captives free. And in learning, then we're to apply it, and we are to set the captives free, which each one of us are, in a way, captive in some way, in some areas to these things. We're not all captive to the same thing, but we're all captives in various areas to various parts of these situations. And we need to be set free from, and we are being set free as we come to the knowledge and understanding of it, and come out from under the traditions of men and start to walk in the word of the Lord that says, thus saith the Lord, and He says, I am the Lord that healeth thee and delivereth thee, and in my name you shall do exploits and set the captives free and break the bonds and loose the chains, and that men may walk forth. And when I say men, I mean the family of God, men, women, and children, that they may walk forth in the liberty of the Lord, walking in freedom from the bondage of Satan and the powers of sin. Now, Irma's going to come and pick up along the line that Brother Moody talked about this afternoon, only in a completely different area. Now, he talked about curses, the curses that God puts on us. And Irma's going to come and deal in the area of curses for a while, only in a different vein from what he was talking about. We're going to tie it all together pretty soon and ask the Lord to set us free from these other areas that we're bound by that we're not even aware of, but that the Lord has come to make a way that we can be set free in the name of Jesus.
Praise the Lord. I think I'll let you all just stand for 1 minute or so. Let's just all pray in the Spirit. Holy and the love of Hurry and the Lea, Celia and the love of Hurry and the Lea, Celia and the love of Hurry and the Lea, Celia and the love of Hurry and the Lea, Celia and the love of Hurry and the Lea, Celia and the love of Hurry and the Lea, Celia and the love of Hurry and the Lea, Celia and the love of Hurry and the Lea, Celia and the love of Hurry and the Lea, Celia and the love of Hurry and the Lea, Celia and the love of Hurry and the Lea, Celia and the love of Hurry and the Lea, Celia and the love of Hurry and the Lea, Celia and the love of Hurry and the Lea, Celia and the love of Hurry and the Lea, Celia and the love of Hurry and the Lea, Celia and the love of Hurry and the Lea, Celia and the love of Hurry and the Lea, Celia and the love of Hurry and the Lea, Celia and the love of Hurry and the Lea, Celia and the love of Hurry and the Lea, Celia and the love of Hurry and the Lea, Celia and the love of Hur Corandali of a sandali, a sandal of Andoriandali, a sandal of a coriandali, a sandal of a kayandali of a sandali. Kuliandal of a sandal, Kitaliandal of a sandali, a sandal of a sorkandali of a sandal of Andoriandali, a sandal of a sandal of Andoriandali, a sandal of a sandal of a coriandali, a sandal of a the Spirit of the Lord was saying to thee this night, yea, I have come to deliver thee. Yea, I have come to set you free, saith the Lord. And yea, thou shalt walk in liberty. For I have ordained it, I have ordained that your chains shall fall off. I have made a way, I have made the way. And as thou dost come unto me, yea, thou shalt not be disappointed, for thy chains shall fall off even this night. Thy bondages shall break, and thou shalt walk forth in the light and the liberty that I have ordained for all of you, saith the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We receive that, Lord. We receive that, Lord. We receive that, Lord. You may be seated. Chapter 10, 1 Corinthians. Chapter 10 of 1 Corinthians. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant. Now, we've been hearing this almost every day, haven't we, from the various speakers. The Lord would not have us ignorant. We must learn from each other. The body of Christ, the Bible says, every joint supplieth in the body. Every one of you are important to the Lord. Every one of you. You have something to give and something to supply. And the Lord does not want us ignorant how that all of our fathers were under the cloud, that's the children of Israel he's talking about, and all passed through the sea, excuse me, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, which was what? Manna and quail. They didn't like it too well after a while, but they all ate it. And did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ, and that's where the living water came. Every day they had water from this rock. And that rock is over in England right now, in the palace in Westminster Abbey, chained to that chair, King David's chair. It's right over there, and the Queen is sitting on the throne of David. Now, I don't know if you've had that teaching or not, but when Glenn went through Westminster Abbey, the Lord gave him a revelation. He'd never heard of or known about that chair or even the rock. I'm not going to go into that now, but it's talking about this rock, and it's talking about Christ Jesus. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Is that true? The children of Israel, many of them displeased the Lord, and they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now, many people today are displeasing the Lord, and they're being overthrown in the wilderness. Now, these things were our examples. So if you want to know what we're supposed to be following and going through, you go back and begin to read about the children of Israel coming out of Egypt, going into the wilderness, because that's our example. And we find the very same things in the body of Christ today as happened with the children of Israel in the wilderness, don't we? We have the same murmurings. We have the same complainers. We have all of this. We're all guilty, one way or the other, of complaining and murmuring. This was our example. To the intent we should not lust after evil things. The Bible says, love not the world, neither the things of the world. It talks about the lust of the eye. As they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them, as it is written. The people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. We've never had so much pleasure bound people in the whole history of the world as we have now. People are pleasure bound. Neither let us commit fornication as some of them committed and fell in one day 23,000 God had to wipe off of the map because of fornication. Now this fornication, we always think of it first, I suppose, as sexual relations out of wedlock. But there's spiritual fornication as dabbling into the occult. Now, we've had several occult people in here
I don't know if you've tuned in or noticed. I don't think they're here tonight. They might be, some of them, but some that was very, very strong in the occult that were sent here by the enemy to block the services. And when you see something like that, when the Holy Spirit shows that to you, you should begin to pray immediately. And don't begin to criticize, but begin to pray and bind those spirits, because they are here to block the services. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured. Are we guilty of that? And were destroyed of the destroyer. It's kind of dangerous to murmur about every little thing. It really and truly is. I don't think we take that too seriously, but there's many people destroyed because they complain all the time and murmur all the time about everything. They don't like the pianist, they don't like the organs, they don't like the carpet, they don't like the ceiling, they don't like the fans, they don't like the people that's sitting next to them. They just murmur about everything.
They don't like the table.
No. They don't like the Bible. Now, all of these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition. Now, these things are not just put in the book as a story. They're for our correction and admonition. Because Zion, right now, we're in the process of being corrected. And if we can't take correction, we're in a sad shape. We must be corrected by the Holy Ghost, by Holy Ghost-filled people, by pastors and teachers and apostles and prophets, evangelists. We must be corrected, and we must walk in that correction then. When you correct a child, then if he really is not full of rebellion, he will obey from that day on. If you tell him don't run in the street or don't chase that ball into the street, you might get run over. Then he thinks about that every time he's playing ball. Don't run in the street. That just gets embedded into him. And the Lord is trying to correct his people. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. I think in this day and age, there's so many people that believe they have arrived. They think they are so sure-footed that the enemy cannot touch them. Listen, he's smarter than all of us. And only by the Spirit of God will we be able to know and discern good and evil. Some things look very good on the front. And some things that we used to think were wonderful, now we see that it was wrong. That there was tainted. It was tainted. People used to stand up and prophesy in the full gospel when we were with them for several years. And I would just be all agog. Oh, I just thought that was wonderful. And finally, the Lord showed me and showed many people, I'm sure he shows all of you, that some of those prophecies were so far in part, they weren't in one-fourth. They were wrong. All the direction they were prophesying and all of the things that... And people go crazy about people that prophesy. Do you know that? They follow them, and they chase them, and they want a word. People call me up now sometimes, and they'll say, we need a word. I say, well, open your Bible and start reading, and you'll get the word. You'll get the word. If you want to hear from the Lord, open your Bible and begin to read. Now, it is true that there's many prophetic utterances come as confirmations. Now, when Glenn had the vision of this property here, we'd never been in Arkansas in our life, and we don't run after visions. He'd never had a vision in his life, and I've never had one that I ever knew of. And it took us 7 years to come here by testing. And many things, people that wouldn't even know us would come and prophesy to us about things that we were going to do for the Lord. And sometimes I just stand there in total amazement, because it would be all things that we'd already prayed about, talked about, wondered about. And the Lord would confirm it through many confirmations. We were talking to Jack Harris, because the Laterno family is at Longview, Texas, right down by his place. And a man, you've probably heard me tell it, came up to me in Beaumont, Texas, after we had bought this property, but we didn't move here for 2 more years. It took us, takes a lot of nerve to leave California and come to a place you've never been before and you don't know what you're getting into. This man walked up to me under the anointing and power of God, and I think all old-time Pentecostals, we know the anointing of the Lord when it comes. And I knew it was the anointing of the Lord, and he came up and he prophesied this long prophecy to me, he was telling me that we were in need of an attorney, and we were in need of this and that, and what the Lord was saying to us, and it was right down the line. And when he finished, he He turned around and he started to walk away, and he turned around and he said, that attorney will be found in California. And he said, he will be the R.G. Letourneau attorney. And I said to him, did you know we used to work in Peoria before we were married and after we were married for R.G. Letourneau? He said, sister, I don't know a thing the Lord is saying, but whatever he's saying, you do. You look up that attorney. And we got back to California, and within a very few days, we were friends of the other part of the Letourneau family. We were married, but we've been married so many years. But we called them, and they gave us Bob Letourneau Jr.'s telephone number, and he didn't answer, and they gave the address, too, and we wrote him. And within 4 days or so, a letter came back from him, and he gave us the name of the attorney. We lived in Northridge, California, and the attorney was in Pasadena. Now, you see, I didn't really want to come here. I didn't have the vision, and I didn't like the vision that Glenn had. And I didn't want to leave California, my grandkids, and all of the things, you know. But it was pretty hard to gainsay all that when the Lord confirmed it and confirmed it and confirmed it. So don't run after prophecies, but if the Lord confirms something that you've been praying about, and then you test that a while, don't be just running out. Because many people get one prophecy, you're going to go out to preach, and the next day they're on their way to India or something, you know, and then they're shipwrecked, and it's pathetic. So be very careful. Be very careful. Him that thinketh he standeth, take heed lest he fall. I recall one of the very most famous ministries went to Africa. And the witch doctor over there put pins in a doll, and it was in the paper, headlines, and what they were doing to this man. He paid no attention to it. In fact, he came back and made fun of it. And we were all down in Georgia, and Derek Prince and Bob Mumford and Don Basham, all of them were down there, and I think Frank Hammond, they were having deliverance meetings, and this man was one of the speakers, and he got up and he made all kinds of fun. And I was just saying, oh, no. After we got bed that night, I said to Glenn, you know, if I were him, I'd go down to their cabin and I'd have them this all checked out and make sure that witch doctor Powers was not still on him, because I could feel something strange. But he didn't. And that was in August, and by November, he had left his wife. He was a black man. He had left his wife for an 18 or 19-year-old hippie girl. Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. I want you all to think about that. Don't be so high and mighty, and don't be so sure that the enemy is not going to attack you, because he's going to attack us in any way he can get an edge in, wherever there's any kind of way. And we're going to talk about curses. Glenn said tonight, I was born with a curse on me. My grandmother did not want my mother to have a second child. My brother was 2 years old, and my grandmother had only one child, and she did not want my mother to have but one child. And so she just gave a lot of problems, and the day I was born, she literally cursed me and wished that I were dead. Well, as a little girl, she would buy my brother all kinds of toys and things for his birthday and Christmas and all of that, and she might buy me a handkerchief for my birthday. I was a little girl, you know, 5, 6 years old, and I... And my mother would say, oh, well, your grandmother's partial to your brother. But I never knew anything about a curse. And I lived with that curse on me until 1972. From back in the early 20s until 1972, I lived with that curse on me. But I didn't know I had a curse on me. I did not understand why, when I would get sick, my brother and I would have measles, maybe. I would be in bed for maybe 6 weeks with all kinds of ear trouble, throat trouble. And my brother would be over it in about 4 days. And I used to say, why do I have to have things so hard when he just has it, you know, and gets right over it. And I never dreamed. My parents, my dad was an Assembly of God minister. They didn't know anything about curses. And for years, I went to death's door. One time right up the other. When I had my children, I went to death's door. We were in an automobile wreck. A big lumber tractor trailer truck hit another car in the rear. Four cars had stopped in front of us. We were on the street going toward Bakersfield, but it wasn't a freeway at that time, but it was a very fast-moving street. And we'd all stopped to turn left to go over to our little town. And this truck come barreling down the highway, hit another car, and I was talking to Glenn, and all of a sudden I saw him. He got the worst expression on his face, and literally he was petrified with fear. He couldn't even scream or tell me, watch out. And I had my purse and my thermos in my lap, and that thing started hitting me, and we started hitting all the cars in front of us, and that truck rolled up over the side of our car on the right-hand side, and this other car hit us from the rear, and I was almost killed. I hit the windshield, and in fact, I had a lot of repercussions from that accident, and the devil was still trying to kill me, you see. He had taken up this curse to carry it out, and I presume that he knows who the sons of God are going to be. He knows what we're going to do, and so he's out after to get us. And days went by, and days went by, and they finally found out that my spleen was ruptured. And my doctor would tell me after I came out of the operation, about a year later, when I had so many complications, he says, you should have died on the street. But Jesus, see, he preserved me. He preserved me. And many, many times, these curses have come upon me, curses of death. But in 1966 or 67, we came under the ministry of a man that taught sonship. He taught that we are the Israel of God. He taught deliverance. He wanted everybody in the whole congregation to pray in the Spirit. He wanted everybody in there to interpret, and he would lay hands on us and had workshops. He wanted everybody to prophesy. He wanted everybody to move in all the gifts of the Spirit, and he was just really wanting everybody to move into God. And he came to our house after 7 weeks of meeting, and he came in to deliver us and to deliver our house. In fact, we walked around the house. We lived in a risky neighborhood, and he made us. I didn't really want to do it, but we had to go outside with our hands up saying, peace be to this house, and walk around it 7 times. But we did it, and it helped. Praise God. But when he prayed for me, literally, my chains fell off. I heard them. They just clanged to the floor. And I felt like I had, like, barrel staves around me, and I was just like this, all hunched up in his hands. And those things fell off. And he discerned that it was a curse of death. And then afterwards, we started conferring and with my mother and everything, and she said that my grandmother literally wanted me dead. Now, many of you were probably unwanted children. They did not plan for a baby, and they did not want a baby at the time. And many of you are probably under a curse like that. And it affects people. Now, a few weeks ago, a beautiful person came here, a beautiful girl from out of state, for prayer. We prayed for her one afternoon, and along with a lot of things that we were praying about, the Holy Spirit kept saying to me, Ouija board. But I had asked her time and time again, have you been involved in drugs? No. Have you ever taken pills? No. Have you ever played or had your palm written? No. She hadn't done any of that. So I thought, well, I'm not going to talk about the Ouija board right now. We prayed about other things. She had been deep into incest with her older brother since she's in the sixth grade. And that had so marred her life. And she was now 26 and so marred and so beaten. And yet she was able to function and work and be on her own. She wasn't married. She probably hated men. Most girls that have been abused hate men then. And the next morning, then, we prayed with her until noon, and we broke those powers and those chains and that curse off of her. But before that, I think it was just before that, I said to her, what does a Ouija board mean to you? I said, the Holy Spirit has prompted me 3 times now, and I'm going to have to ask you. I've asked you a lot of things about the occult, and you say, no, you've never been involved. And she said, oh, yes, my sixth grade teacher brought a Ouija board to school, and we all played with it. And it was at the time of the sixth grade that her brother, her older brother, began to have relations with her. You see how all these things just span and mesh together. The enemy is so well, his strategy is so perfected. His battle line is so perfected. At the Church of the Living God, we all need to come together in love and closeness and love each other and pray for each other. Because you may say something in me, and I may see something in you, and we pray for each other. We don't discuss it and talk about how awful it is. We just pray for each other and repent together. And this little girl, she went away that night so happy and so free. And she herself is even a counselor. And there's many people sitting in here tonight that's been involved with incest. I know that by the Spirit. I know that by your faces. I can see it on your faces. The dark cloud hanging over you. Week after week, year after year. And the Lord wants to lift that darkness, dark cloud off of you. He wants to set you free tonight. There are many kinds of curses. Now, we were at an Assembly of God church in Anaheim. And right while we were speaking, the pastor's wife was cursed. There was somebody had come in the back, and they were making quite a disturbance. And if people are making disturbances when I'm speaking, I try not to look at it or think about it. And I didn't pay too much attention to it, but I did see something going on. And a couple had come in, hippie-like type people, and they called her out, and they demanded that they stay there in the church that night. And she said, well, we have no beds and no place to put you up. I'll call the Salvation Army and get you a bed over there. And they said, no, we want to stay here. And she said, well, I'm sorry. You will not be able to stay here. And they started to yell hypocrite at her and called her all kinds of names as they left. And when she came back in, I didn't really see her come back in, but she was sitting down in the front seat. And as I was ministering, I looked down at her, and all of a sudden I saw that she had a curse on her. And so as I began to minister to people, I said, I'd like to pray for the pastor's wife here. Somebody has put a curse on her. And she said, yes, even tonight. And as she came up, the Lord just broke it off of her. And people, God puts curses on us. You heard all about God putting all these curses on us today. He puts curses on us if we don't pay our tithes, if we lean on the arms of flesh, if we do this and do that. He says he puts the curses on us. But people can put curses on you, and the enemy can put curses on us. So we must be very alert to the wiles of the enemy and to what people are saying to us. Somebody put a curse on us today here. They left in not a mad huff, I don't guess, but they said, you're all Canaanites here. And so that'll have to be taken care of. That'll have to be taken care of and sent back. Now, in Psalms, let's go to Psalms 109. I want to hurry this. I have a lot of scriptures that I can give you, but in Psalms 109 and the 17th verse, it says, as he loved cursing, so let it come unto him. As he delighteth not in blessing, so let it be far from him. As he clothed himself with cursing like as with his garments, so let it come into his bowels like water and like oil into his bones. Let it be unto him as the garment which covereth him, and for a girdle wherewith he is girded continually. Now, the whole chapter of Psalms 109 is about people cursing you. And in Proverbs 17:13, I won't turn to it, but it's talking about rewarding evil for good. There's been times that we've stayed up and prayed half the night for people, and a few days later they're cursing us and say all of it was untrue. No thankfulness, no gratefulness, rewarding evil, coming at us with evil when we were trying to do good for them. And that's a curse. Last week, every Thursday night we have a Bible study in the dining room, and we get our concordances out and dictionaries and Bibles and all kinds of rendition of the Bible, and we really get down into the nitty-gritty of words. And last week we studied slander. I never thought too much about that, but I'm going to read you what slander means. And some of the scriptures that people come up with. To slander somebody is to defame them and to smear them, mudslinging, scandalize, backbite, belittle, run down, debase, discredit, slur, stab you in the back, and to curse you. Slander means to curse you. Two-faced, double-mindedness, utterance of false charges against you, misrepresentation, to damage your reputation, to cause you distress, a false oral statement about a person to injure and make him suffer, a grudge, to malign, and to utter misleading false reports. You know, You can say the truth, but you can slightly change it to make it sound like it's something that it really isn't, you know. Read things into it. Speak evil against somebody. Be vicious. Have ill will. Be malicious. And it also means malignant. What do we think about malignant? When we think about malignant, what do you think about? Cancer. See, that could be one of... To slander people may mean that you might get cancer. So it behooves us to be careful who we slander. There are many, many scriptures. I won't take time to read them or turn to them because it's getting very late. Now, some people have come to me and said, they've heard my testimony, I guess, or heard it on tape, about not being able to remember the word. How many have that problem? Have a hard time. You read the Bible, and as you get down through the pages, you look back and you think, what in the world did that say? And you have to go back and read it over and start making yourself think about it. And that is an enemy. Well, Derek Prince came to visit us in 1972. I've had intermittent deliverances since 65. I'd never heard of the devil before. All my dad ever preached about was the devil was downtown in the bar and in the movies. And that was kind of, you know, I never saw him, never knew nothing about the devil, really, until 1965. And I heard Derek Prince speak. And Derek said he's usually on the front seat of every church, sitting there to block everything, or he's usually in at least one deacon in every church to cause the pastor great distress. And I'm sure most pastors can agree with that. But I was very interested in deliverance. I knew I had them all. I mean, when he preached, I was convicted, and I knew I had them all, but I was very frightened about the whole thing. I couldn't bear to think about something inside of me that could speak out of me when I had no control over it. That really blew my mind, but I knew it was true. And Derek came to our house, and I'd already had a lot of deliverances when he came, but he said to Glenn and I, you're both under the power of a fortune teller. I said, well, I don't want to be under the power of a fortune teller, and I've never been to one. He said, well, have you ever read horoscopes? I said, well, yes, I've read some horoscopes in the L.A. Times, but I don't believe them. He said, well, that's enough to taint you, and it's enough to get a curse on you put on by God. Well, that's a little earth-shaking. And then he said, but you've never had any connection with a fortune teller. I said, no, I haven't. And he asked Glenn. Glenn said, no, he hadn't. And he said, well, it's coming from your ancestors someplace. And so he began to pray for it. And when he prayed for me, it was like a tent lifted off of me. I could think better. I could see better. And I just sort of woke up. I'd been kind of a daze, I guess, all my life. And I thought, oh, this is wonderful. It felt so good to have that off of me. And then he prayed for Glenn. When he prayed for Glenn, it was like another tent. It was lifted off of me, and I could see even better and think even better, felt better. And he went home the next day. But then he took me. He and his wife were there, and I don't know. I guess somebody had come in. Anyway, he said, I want you to come back in the bedroom. I want to pray further for you. So he started to pray for me, and he said, you have a spirit of forgetfulness. Well, I mean, that was a big shock to me, because Glenn always thinks I can remember everybody's name and what color necktie they're wearing and who married who and how old and when the birthdays are and all this, you know. And I was an A student in school, and I did have a good memory, and I praised the Lord for that. But he says, you have a spirit of forgetfulness. So if he said it, I said, well, pray. I don't want it. You see, if it's not in there, nothing's going to come out, is it? But it might be in there, so you better let anybody pray for you that tells you what they see in you in case. And it's not going to hurt anything. If it's not in there, it won't come out. But if it is in there, it will have to come out through the power of the name of Jesus. And so he began to pray, and about three times he said, you spirit of forgetfulness, come out of her. And the third time, my shoulders jerked. My arms jerked, just jerked like that. And I thought, wow, what is this? And I had no control over that. And about three or four more times he said it, and this thing in me began to speak out of me. And it said, we are not coming out. I mean, in a very strong voice. And it was like I was sitting over there in that chair watching all this go on, and I was having a hard time with that because I didn't understand why what this was. And it says, it went on and says, we hate you, to Derek. Well, that didn't bother him any. And he said, but you have to come out in the name of Jesus. And it said, no, we're not coming out. And it said that very emphatically about four times. And he said, but you will come out because I have power and authority over you. And he says, you must obey and come out. It said, we're not coming out because we are locked to her brain. we are, seeing there's more than one in there. And he kept on praying. And Mrs. Prince had a way. The first Mrs. Prince, before she passed away, she was about 80 years old then, I think. And she could really pray. And she could really pray in tongues. I mean, she could shift into high gear. And she shifted gears, and she began to pray in the Spirit, and he began to command that thing to come out, and that thing began to throw me all around the room. I had no control over it whatsoever. And it was talking all the time, just really angry. And he finally said, "You bow to Jesus, the evil spirit, and you come out of her." And it came out. Well, that was quite an experience, to say the least. But one thing it said, we won't let her remember the word. We won't let her remember the word. And they just kept yelling that out of me. And then I thought, how true, how true. Here I'd been a Christian all these years, and I really didn't know how to quote too many scriptures. And my whole life began to change after that. And I dare say that many of you may have that same spirit of forgetfulness, not being able to remember the word, because if you can't remember the word, how can you fight evil spirits, see? You must answer them with the word of God. Jesus always answered Satan with the word of God, didn't he? He cast them out by his word. And we must study the word of God, study to show yourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word. And my whole life began to change. So tonight we're going to pray. Now, if you've been involved in the occult, and I dare say most people have in one way or the other, I would dare say that most people have been involved with incest in the past 400 years. Maybe not you, but in your bloodline, someplace. And these things, how do you feel that you've gotten to the wall, you can't go any further, and you've been there for a long, long time? It's because you will have to have some deliverance so you can move on. I had not moved in God for so many years until we came into deliverance. And every time we get more deliverance, then we move higher up in the Spirit of the Lord. And the reason we need deliverance is so the Lord can pour out the Holy Spirit on us in a stronger measure, that total full anointing. That's what it's all about. That's why we need it. Well, we need it so we can be comfortable and not be tormented. If you can't forgive people, you will be tormented from now on until you make a decision of your will to forgive somebody. I don't care how much they've done to you, how much they've hurt you, how much your father said to you, how many times he beat you, you must forgive. Even though he's dead, you must forgive him. And when you forgive, then things start to happen, and the Lord starts to move in your behalf. But otherwise, he says, "I'll let the tormentors loose on you, and you'll be tormented day and night." And many people live in terrible torments. We have one woman that calls us at 3 o'clock, I would dare say, two or three times a week, because she's so tormented, and she's afraid she's going to die, and her heart's fluttering. Or, you know, she has something every night when she calls, and we've told her, "You must forgive, you must forgive." It takes us a while, many of us, a long time to forgive people that's really hurt us, but we must forgive. And so tonight, how many people feel that in some of these areas you need help and deliverance? Put up your hand. Don't be so naive about it. I mean, get serious with it. Get serious with it. I remember I was telling one brother today, after I was in this car wreck, then I had to have a hysterectomy because my spleen had grown. An adhesion had grown all down through all my organs. They had to cut me all apart and cut my intestines apart. And they gave me a total hysterectomy, and I was about 32, 33. And in about a year then, Satan came after me again. He wanted to kill me, and I had a total nervous breakdown. Total nervous breakdown. They put me in a hospital. And Glenn tried to tell the deacon and the pastor, "I think those are demons talking out of her." Because I was talking out of my head. I didn't know what I was doing, I guess. And they put me in this hospital, and I had 17 shock treatments. The first three was sodium penicillin, and after that, nothing. They just strapped me down, turned on the electricity, and just beat every brain I had out of my head. And they told Gwen she's going to be a total vegetable the rest of her life. But Jesus, see, but Satan was after me to kill me. He still is. He still is. But after about, I don't know, 4 weeks or something, I didn't get any better. I got worse, I guess, and I didn't know where I was or what I was or anything. And eventually, Glenn called the church together. And we didn't know nothing about demons in those days. That was way back in the 50s. But Glenn called the church to fasting and prayer. And he said, he got up one day in the church, well, about 250, 300 congregation. He said, "I believe if we'll fast and pray, Irma will get well, get healed." He says, and the Lord has shown me that we must come to the church and fast and pray. Day and night, if you can. Come, if you can come in the morning, you come. And others come in the afternoon. And others come in the evening. He said, I'll come at lunch. I'll come early in the morning. He had the two children to take care of. But anyway, they begin to fast on Monday. A few people went upstairs and said they were interested. There's not too many people interested in fasting these days. They weren't bad back in the 50s either. But a few women went up there, and maybe some men, very few of the congregation, and they began to pray on Monday morning. They prayed Monday evening, Tuesday evening, Wednesday evening, and Thursday morning I woke up. I just woke up out of my daze, and I said to the girl in the bed next to me, where am I? She said, you're in a hospital. I said, did I have another car wreck? And she said, no. You're in here to rest. You're tired. I jumped out of bed. I said, I'm not tired. And I walked in the bathroom, and I looked at myself. In those days, I had hair about to my shoulders, and it was out like Phyllis Diller's. And I looked at myself, and I thought, what in the world? And what's going on here? And I asked where my children were, where my husband was. And they said, oh, well, he'll come in whatever day was his day to come, Saturday or something. And I was in total amazement. And when he came on Saturday, he took me home, and I never had to go back. And the Lord healed me and delivered me, but not the deliverance like I know today, but he healed me from that mental problem. They called it everything. I was a supervisor at Lockheed, and they said, well, you've worked day and night, and your brain turned off. It goes triple speed, and it's tired, and it turned off. Then they said, well, you had spontaneous menopause because of the hysterectomy. They gave all the reasons. But today, I look back and I see it was the devil trying to kill me with that curse. See, that was before anybody had prayed for us, except, well, we went to church every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, every Wednesday night, to the women's missionary and all of that, all the time. But nobody ever talked about the devil. Never. They didn't know about it. None of us knew about it. But praise God for the knowledge and the revelation. So any of you that have got mind problems, some people have such mind-binding problems through the occult, through being involved with all kinds of Eastern religions, I don't know. I'm amazed at how many things people can get involved in. But I'm also praising the Lord that he can bring us out of it. There is a way. He was made a curse that we do not have to bear these curses. Now, it's not automatic. Salvation is not automatic. People run around and say, well, Jesus made a curse, and I don't have to worry with that. That isn't true. That isn't true. You do have to be concerned about that. There's curses of death on people sitting here right now. There's curses of incest on you. There's various curses. And the Lord wants to set you free. Let's bow our heads. Now, I want all of you to pray. Dear Father, we come in the name of Jesus. And ask you to deliver us from all evil. We ask you to deliver us out of the hands of the enemy. And your word says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. Your word says that your blood cleanses us from sin. We repent of the sins of our forefathers. We repent of our own sins, of dabbling into the occult, of committing fornication, of committing adultery, of going to fortune tellers, playing with the Ouija board, reading occult magazines and horoscopes. We repent of the sins of our fathers, of eating blood and fat. We repent of the sins of incest in our bloodline for 400 years. The sins of fornication and idolatry and covetousness and witchcraft and the rebellion. That we have rebelled against your word in ignorance because we have not read it or we have not believed it. Lord, we want your forgiveness and we want your cleansing. We ask for the precious blood pour down upon us now and allow the Holy Spirit to apply the blood to these nests of the serpent that live within us. We ask you to forgive us for not forgiving others. We want to be out of the hands of the tormentors. We want to be able to sleep in peace. And Lord, you say in your word, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. We are whosoever, and we call on you now. Deliver us out of the hands of the enemy and break the curses that are upon us. We love you, Jesus. We thank you that you gave your life that we might be free. And we believe tonight that we're going to walk out of here with liberty, in freedom, in all the ways that you choose to deliver us. For your word says, little by little, I shall drive your enemies out of you. We thank you, Lord, for that. We praise you, Lord, for that. Now let the blood come down over you. All these sins, let the blood just come down over you. Now, deliverance has to do, the Lord makes everything very simple, but we make everything very complicated. Deliverance has something to do, such as, and I talk about it as if it was like a delivery of a baby. Now, when you're delivering a baby, the nurses and the doctor will tell you to bear down. Now, the Bible in last chapter of Mark, it says that believers will cast out evil spirits. So one day, some man that lived on the ground at that time, he'd come up here just before we was getting ready to have a meeting and speak, and it's always lovely to have somebody come up and throw something in your face at the wrong time. And he says, where does God say you have to vomit up demons? I said, well, I don't know, but I'll give you an answer in a few days. So he went back and sat down, looking very sanctimonious. Well, a couple days later, I was sitting in the living room and I was praying, and my dictionary was laying there, and I kept getting this word, cast out, cast out, cast out. And so I picked up the dictionary, and it's actually in there, the word cast out. And it says, it means, first meaning is to vomit, to give a quick jerk, and to cast, and to spring out. So I came back to church, and I got up here, and I read the scripture, and read the dictionary, and he said, amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, the easiest way to get demons out, and they're coming out, all you people coughing, and they're starting to come out. They don't like the blood of Jesus that's coming down on them. Now, we're going to not torment them too much longer. We're going to let them come out and command them to come out. You don't need to pray anymore. You've prayed. And you let us and the workers pray, and you breathe them out. And if they want to come out coughing, screaming, or however they want to come out, we don't care, and that won't bother us at all. One time, I was walking down the aisle just praying for people. We was having a heavy deliverance service, and I came by a boy, and I just laid my hand on him. He's about 21, I guess, and I said, come out in the name of Jesus. And he threw up, and I had nothing, so I had to catch it in my hand, and it ran down in my shoe. That's all right. That boy's never been the same. He's a precious boy in the Lord now. So it's all right. Because what goes on in a delivery room, in a real delivery room at a hospital, when it's all over and the baby's there, nobody remembers what all went on. So nobody's going to remember what all your demons did, and nobody cares. We want to get rid of them, and that's that. Now, we're going to start commanding them to come out in the name of Jesus. I command in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ all you occult spirits to be coming out. Fortune-telling spirits, Ouija board spirits, all the spirits of reading Eastern religions books, water witching, ESP, Ekankar, all of your evil powers in that area, I want you to come out now in the name of Jesus. Obey. We have power and authority over you. It is written. It is written, Satan. We have power and authority over you. Now come out in the name of Jesus. Come out now in the name of Jesus. Command them to come out. That's right. Come on out in the name of Jesus. All of you, come out in the name of Jesus. Fornication, come out in the name of Jesus. Mind control spirits, come off of these people in the name of Jesus. Incest. I command incest to come out of these people. Incest they have inherited for 400 years. Illegitimate children, bastards. All you evil spirits, come out now in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind your power. I want you to come out now in the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Illicit sex. Illicit sex. Sins of masturbation. Sins of oral sex. I want all of you spirits to come out now in the name of Jesus. Come on out in the name of Jesus. You workers, would you please get up and begin moving through? They're starting to come out in the name of Jesus. All you evil powers of unbelief. And you people that have slandered. You people that have slandered Jimmy Swaggart and Brother Oral Roberts and other ministries. I want the spirit of slander to begin to come out. Talking against people. Cursing people with your tongue. All you evil spirits, come out. Obesity spirits, come out in the name of Jesus. Obesity spirits, come out in the name of Jesus. Eating too much. Gluttony spirits, I want you to come out now in the name of Jesus. The Lord Jesus reigns. The Lord Jesus reigns. Breathe them out, people. I can't do it all for you. The Holy Spirit is working. Obey. Obey. And breathe them out and let them come out in the name of Jesus. Breathe them out and let them come out in the name of Jesus. All spirits of forgetfulness of the word. Forgetting the word. All spirits lodged in the brain. The base of the brain. Come out now in Jesus' name. Come out now in the Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I bind your power. Come out now in the name of Jesus. All deformity spirits, come out. Deformity spirits, come out in the name of Jesus. Jesus is Lord over you, enemies. You must leave. Curses of death, come off of these people. Curses of cancer, come off of these people now in the name of Jesus. Malignant spirits, come out now in Jesus' name. Curses of infirmities, come out now in Jesus' name. Curses of infirmity and tumors. Insanity spirits, come out now in the name of Jesus. Insanity spirits, tobacco spirits, come off of them in the name of Jesus. All addictive spirits, come out now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Drinking spirits, drinking of wine, drinking of strong drink which brings on rage. I command rage to come out in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command all these spirits, I command the spirits of addiction to leave this man now in the name of Jesus. Come out of his lungs now in the name of the Lord Jesus. Come out of his lungs now, tobacco
fine,
spirits, in the name of the Lord Jesus.
I bind you and take authority over you.
Yes.
Now listen.
Burn them on the hand. Beat them out, brother. Let them go. Curse of death on his lung in Jesus' name.
Curse of death.
Curse of drinking. Drinking spirits when he used to drink in the name of Jesus. Rage and anger.
Come on, move.
Come out now in the name of Jesus. Come out now in Jesus' name. Breathe out. Cup them out. Now let them go. Let them go in Jesus' name. Yes, it's coming out, brother. Let's see, what brand you smoke? Viceroy spirit, come out now. All Viceroy spirits, come
any
out
kind,
of him. Any
brand.
Kind, all brands of cigarettes.
Come on, Lucy.
Come out of
Lucy.
His tongue, the taste buds. Come out of his hands. Yes, he's sorry. He's sorry, Lord. He's sorry, Lord. He wants to be delivered. Yes, he is a temple of the Holy Spirit. Yes, really under the most holy under the under all of the addicted spirits. In Jesus' name. They're coming out. Read out now. Read out. Don't talk. Read out. In Jesus' name.
We break the curse of tobacco.
Keep on praying. Everybody that smokes in here, if you want to be delivered, the one is in trouble, jump in. Jump in. They're just pouring out of him the evil powers of addiction of smoking. Pouring out, pouring out. He left it at the altar. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now we're going to come against drinking of whiskey, which is strong drink, and the rage that goes. If you used to drink and now you have anger, come out in the name of Jesus. All the anger and rage from drinking. Wine is a mockery, the Bible says. So mockery, you come out in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Command all drinking spirits to leave. All sipping saints that like to take a nip. We bind your power in the name of Jesus. We bind your power. The spirit of drinking. The spirit of cigarette smoking in the name of Jesus. And the spirit of anger. Come out in the name of Jesus. 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 Brenda, Brenda, pray for her. Will you pray for her? In the name of the Lord Jesus, we bind the power. We bind the power in the name of Jesus. Come out. Religious spirits, come out of these people in the name of Jesus. All religious spirits, come out in the name of Jesus. All unclean spirits, come out in the name of Jesus. Unclean spirits, insanity, come out in the name of Jesus. Incest, come out in the name of Jesus. Incest, come out in the name of Jesus. Incest.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.